Welcome to Will It Game, the podcast about pitching crappy games to actual designers and people who have intelligence. I'm here with my buddy Rick White. How are you doing today, Rick?
Hi. Let's get this going so I can go to bed. Come on.
That's right. And in order to get this going, we're going to need a guest judge. And today our guest judge is Chad Elkins of 25th Century Games. How are you doing, Space Traveler?
Good. What's going on, y'all?
Doing well, doing well. We just had you on our regular podcast, the One Board Podcast, and Rick got to sit down and interview you about your latest Kickstarter. So why don't you tell our lovely audience about this Kickstarter?
Yeah, no, that was super fun last week when we did that. So the current Kickstarter right now for 25th Century Games is called Space Explorers. It is a kind of 1960s, primarily 1960s era setting space race game. So it has that very retro kind of vibe. Gameplay, kind of a little bit of a cross between like a Splendor meets Gizmos. A heavier, crunchier version of Splendor. It gets referenced a lot. Closed resource system, which is a little bit unique. And you're basically building up your tableau of scientists and astronauts and testers and researchers to try to build out your engine so that you can launch historic spacecrafts.
And so that's there are really
20 crafts in the game. They're all real life. You know, there were actual spacecrafts like Sputnik and Apollo 11. And so it's kind of got a fun kind of very, very 60s driven vibe. But you can go check that out on Kickstarter right now.
Yeah, Space Explorers looks awesome. The artwork is really intriguing. And Rick actually got a chance to play it, and he really enjoyed it. So
yes, he did.
Yeah. Cool. So in honor of Space Explorers, we are actually going to go to space with our game pitches this week.
We got a space theme.
Yes. Space theme. And because Rick is the previous winner, and it looks like he's going to be winning the popular vote also on our Facebook page, he's going to go first. Rick, why don't you take it away and pitch a crappy game?
Man, I don't know how crappy this one is. I again, lately have been doing my research to back up my work, so I think it's getting better and better. So
nice.
Look out. this week's game, my pitch is I Want to Be a Planet. All right. Now, when I first started to try to come up with an idea, I had all these ideas about carrying cargo across space, making deliveries, trying to avoid dangers, and then I realized I had just made Galaxy Trucker, so I had to start over.
Galaxy Trucker or like Rocket Jockey,
Nice. So my bad. Anyway, in this game, it's 2006, and the International Astronomical Union has decided that Pluto is no longer a planet. Well, these planets are not going to take it lying down. Or orbiting, if you will, you're going to take on the role of what have now been classified the dwarf planets. So you're going to be Ceres, Pluto, Eris, I'm going to mess these up, Maki Maki, and Haumea. I have no idea if that's nice. How you say them, and if it's not, I apologize. But anyway, those are the dwarf planets. Those are the ones that are too tiny, considered by the scientists to be called just a planet. And so you're working to get your planet upgraded to be a regular planet. Well, how are you going to do this? Well, first, you got to make yourself larger. You're going to be eating up comets and asteroids and adding to your mass. No, that's not a thing that really happens. Leave me alone. Then you're going to have to clear your orbital path and move closer to the sun. You know, you want to get bigger name recognition by getting closer to the Earth and the sun. So you got to try to change your orbital path. I don't know how that works. I'll have to do some more research. And then just attracting attention, and that's by getting scientists to look closer at you by doing something crazy. Like, look, I've got ice volcanoes. What? Or, hey, look, maybe there's possible signs of jellyfish life. What? So you got to try to figure out how do you get the attention of those scientists. You're going to have trackers for these three characteristics, the size, orbital path, and attention. And those are going to be at different levels in comparison with your real-life counterparts. And then on your turn, what you'll do is you'll roll dice for those three categories. And the dice have three different colors, but there's like a level 1, level 2, level 3. And so the higher the level, the more risky the dice is. So, you know, level 1, you're going to get like 0 to 3 points. But level 2 has some negative points. And then level 3, you might wipe out your entire point collection.
Wow.
So this also operates on a timer based on the orbital time of these planets. So if you're Ceres, you're going to go, it's located in the asteroid belt. It hits a lot more frequently. So they're going to get to roll dice more frequently, but they roll fewer dice. Those that are the big boys out in the wild beyond Neptune, they roll less frequently, but they get to roll more dice. So it's going to have this cool timer thing. Then once one player reaches the winning level for all three categories, they win the game. That is, I want to be a planet.
That's really good, man.
Mm. Okay, yeah. I mean, did some research again. I mean, it's no Neck and Mole Rats level of research. Yeah.
No, but I tried, but there was only so much I could find where they were like, we think this looks like ice. We haven't been there. So, I did what I could.
This is what I'm hoping for, and I'm going to just throw this out to our guest judge, who I think has a lot of wisdom, grace, class, education. I think what's going to happen is you're going to have overextended yourself in a way where you can't actually tie these things together. I'm just throwing it out there, and now
a fair point. You're talking about a planet that's like, hey, I'm a big kid too, and like, get out of my way, big planet. So I'm gonna get cut to the front of the line, and then I'm gonna bling myself out. That's what you're basically saying.
Exactly. So yeah, that's how planets operate.
That is clearly what they do, exactly. And they do gobble up other random.
They have all gained levels of sentience. Right. It's dangerous, and we need to be careful. But I mean, we all know we like protested when Pluto wasn't a planet. So
that's true.
This is us trying to hold on to those memories of childhood.
All right, I can. I'm vibing a little bit. We could even call it like Plutonium, right?
Oh.
That's terrible.
Got that word.
That's
play.
Terrible. That's all right. So, I don't have to judge this right now. Right?
No,
I get to hear what Ryan's going to swing at. Right. All right.
Yep. I mean, if you really want to, I guess you can hear what he has to offer. But I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure you would like me to declare you a winner without even listening to Ryan.
I mean,
I know you've been on a streak, but that could end tonight.
Yeah,
I'm offering up a pretty hot game called Starbucks.
Starbucks. This is foul. This is party foul all over again. Is this whole game going to be based just off of the wordplay of the title?
Maybe Starbucks, a space-based coffee shop.
Oh,
okay,
God.
So each the centerpiece is going to be this moon or this planet, this circular piece, and it's going to have slots. You're going to be able to play somewhere between 3 to 6 players, and you're going to have different slots for customers to go onto that player onto that like centerpiece board. And so if you've got 3 players, maybe there's only 4 customers at your shop, and it scales really well. So that's the centerpiece of this game. And what you're going to be doing is you're going to be serving creatures from around the galaxy. So on this moon shape or planet shaped board, you're going to have slots for aliens and monsters, space travelers, explorers, all kinds of stuff. So this is set in the future. So you're going to see some crazy, crazy stuff because this is the very first space-based coffee shop in the entire galaxy. Each player is given a deck of cards, which all have coffee house ingredients. So each player gets their own separate deck with its own colors. With only 4 cards in hand, you're going to have to decide how to use them. You're going to have to basically hand management and allocating things to these different customers at the coffee shop. Maybe this person needs 3 ingredients to make their coffee happen. Do I want to put down 2 of the ingredients and then risk another person coming in with the perfect card and finishing out that order and taking them? Or do I want to put down 1 ingredient and hold off and know what I have for a future turn and finish that off and take that customer at a later round? So you're going to be managing your hand, managing your deck. When that deck runs out of cards, you're going to reshuffle, you're going to set it back up, and you're going to be trying to fulfill orders as quickly as possible and quicker than your better fill orders more efficiently than the other opponents at the table. Now, this is a filler game. It's a quick game. It's 15 to 20 minutes. It's cards. It's got this almost like fold-out. It's going to be this fold-out round board. It's going to have some really cool table presence, but it's going to play real quick. So in a lunch hour, you're going to be able to play 2 or 3 times. Have a really good time with it. That is Starbucks a space-based coffee shop.
So besides,
don't laugh at him, Chad. It only encourages him.
It fuels me.
Besides the cease and desist letter that will be bound to happen when this thing.
But here's the thing: there's a dash in between. Oh, okay. And Bucks. So it's fine. It's fine. Right?
Is this like the hipster version of the Mos Eisley Cantina? Like, is there going to be a band playing music in the background?
Or Slice Noodles is going to be there. You know it.
Yeah, is Han Solo going to be writing his like memoirs? Like, I mean, what's happening this coffee shop? So.
Yeah, it does feel like a very Mos Eisley kind of vibe, right?
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm hearing, like, everything about that level of design, right, is like, I'm going to put one or two cars down and then see if someone puts their card down. You're kind of just end up balancing it out to where no one ever wants to put like the one card before the order finishes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you need some kind of variance in there to kind of keep things off kilter.
Okay.
So what if you have like this, maybe the coffee shop planet thing is round, but it's round and it orbits constantly. So it's constantly rotating, like randomly rotating. Like, so it can, maybe it's like a weird, there's a weird gravitational pull, so it's not like a consistent rotation, but like,
gotcha.
So you got everything is kind of like in flux, and you're trying to like time when you're going to be able to like, oh, they're coming around. Now you get your space bagel, you know, and now you're done. Yeah. Boom, get out of here. Yeah. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's something like I can see that working.
No, that's good. I like that. And I like that maybe even a variant of that is that there is a direction that it goes right or left based on a card that's picked up or a die roll. You know, so it's going to be that like, oh man, it could hit this way or it could hit that way. You know, so you've got that kind of unknown going on.
Yeah, I think you could have like, you could probably end up making like one of the first like rondel mechanic filler games. Right?
Yeah,
you don't see a whole lot of rondel games, period. But
yeah, but it would be very fitting the way that you're trying to fulfill the orders and the roundness of the planet or moon or whatever. Yeah. Yep.
I don't like this co-conspirating with the judge to make the game better. Like, I don't know how I feel about this. It's not like you're at a figure skating competition and the French judge is like, hey, what if you did like the triple sow cow instead of whatever that, like that never happens. What kind of garbage
is it? It does. It happens.
I mean, this is on the up and up. There's no collusion here with the judges.
Yeah, no collusion.
I think, can we roll the tape? Like, literally, let's roll it back and see all the collusion that was happening. Oh, my gosh.
So, Chad, what are we doing here?
I'm just going to think that it's in term of, like, oh, man, I feel bad for your game. Let me make it a little bit better I tell you that you lost.
You keep
That's
believing
what I'm going
that.
For.
So, I think the space, I mean, one star, the Starbucks is clever. No way that's ever going to fly, right? But
okay.
I think I like the fulfilling customer orders and stuff. Like, that gets done. There's a lot of good filler games out there that like do that kind of stuff, like Pie Factory and Diner. And there's just a lot of those kind of order-filling games. I think if you can build, I kind of think that could work. I mean, honestly, I think if you find a way to kind of make it fun, play around with the gravitational rotation of the shop, and that could be a little bit, bring something unique.
Yeah.
Rick, you know, Rick's game, we're talking about planets. Like, I know it's not real life, you know, but we're talking about a planet.
I know, but it's not real life. Well, I'm good, Chad, because if you were worried about this, I would be very concerned.
But the concept of like a planet, you know, being like just getting pissed off and deciding he's going to gobble up random things and butt his way to the front of the orbital line, you know, near the sun.
That's pretty funny.
And get some bling. I mean, it's a little odd. It's probably more odd than Neck and Mole Rats, but I think it,
you know, I do it. I go for it.
But I think you did have something interesting there with like the orbiting speed and the rate at which you can do things. I think that sounded actually really interesting to explore in a game, right? Like, where it's kind of, and I think with planets it makes it even more exciting because like you do have an like rotation that is very asymmetrical, almost inherently by the rotational design, right?
Yeah.
So that part I think was cool. I think it was weird about, I'm trying to go add as much planetary bling as possible to win the favor of the sun god, to whatever it
is. All I know, like, is that planetary bling needs to become a phrase. That's really the only thing I'm picking up from this.
Right. So Final judgment. I'm gonna lean toward the non Starbucks branded version of the Planet coffee shop.
Whoa! Okay.
Wow! Yeah. Interesting. So,
although I
as
think
we
you maybe could
it.
Combine the you could almost combine both games though. What if that happened? Blow some minds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Combine them, right?
I think that if we, you know what, as an arch enemy of Rick's and his nemesis, if you will, I could see working with you on a game. I feel like that could happen.
I gotta wait on that. Like, let's not try to make this become a thing here. Like, so, I don't want.
So I'm going to rename Starbucks. Remember, there's a dash in there. Star-dash Bucks.
Star-dash Bucks.
Star-dash Bucks.
Only if you spell it out that way, then you definitely won't get a cease and desist. Like, it's Star-dash Bucks. It's not Starbucks.
Star-dash Bucks, and there's a K in there. I mean, there's a X in there, you know? So, no big deal. We put a couple X's in there, whatever. Cool. So, Chad, thank you so much for being our guest judge on here. Thank you for colluding with me to make a better game. I really appreciate it.
I will be filing a complaint with the committee.
The check is in the mail.
The formal commission.
Yes. Yes. I don't know who they are, but I got
the Will
find
of Game
them.
Commission. So
right.
I'm going online to find the form right now.
Yes, Chad. Where can people find you online to find out more about 25th Century Games?
So 25thcenturygames.com. All the social channels. We're every all the major ones. We can connect with us there, and be sure to check out our Kickstarter. If you go to spaceexplorers.games, it'll take you right to the Kickstarter page.
That's awesome. This is going to be a great game, guys. Check out the Kickstarter. And thanks again for joining us. Be sure to vote online. You can go over to facebook.com/oneboardfamily, and you can vote for which pitch you thought was the best. Was it I Want to Be a Planet from Rick White or Star-dash Bucks by Ryan Gutowski?
Avenge
Be sure to check
me.
It out.
This is fun, guys. I appreciate the invite. This is
Thanks
great.
So much. And until next time, we will see you at the table.
Punchboard Media,
where we all
bring something
to the table.
Pull up a chair
at punchboardmedia.com.